That was our start. And we've been through a lot of things. God told me 3 times to marry Millie. She was the only girl my mother ever approved of. And I married her, and you know what? At times I made Millie's life hell. And I was hard on her. I was a broken, messed up preacher boy with an anointing on his life. But she, there were times I thought I wanted to divorce her. And God stopped that. We're together. Now, August the 10th, 2 p.m. California time, Millie and I will be married 49 years. Amen. Thank you. Now, next year, Lord willing, next year is going to be our golden wedding anniversary. And in the Sunday morning service, we are going to renew our vows before this church. Because we love you. We believe in love. We believe in marriage. We know it's hard. Not everybody, you know what? We're not against divorce at all. Sometimes stuff happens, terrible stuff. But I want you to know there's hope. I want you to know as soon as you get it right, you can start to have a great life. And you know what? Tonight is a night. I'm going to talk a little bit about what communion is. If you will, please, in the sound booth, give me Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth. These are the words of Moses. This is when he was coming to the end of his life. Moses did Genesis 6 and 3. My spirit will not always strive with man. Man's days will be 120 years. And Moses went away with God. He was not bent over. His voice didn't quiver. His eye was clear. God just simply took him. What is biblical death? Just to be taken. To be absent in the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. Me and Millie claimed that 120 years. And God took Moses. Guess how old he was? He was 120 years old. God took him because God hid his body. You know, nobody has ever found the Garden of Eden. Do you understand it's still here on this earth? It's still here. But see, when God, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all those that dwell therein. Every angel, every demon belongs to God. And God works through order, not our order, his order. I wasn't aware of that. I trained myself to look at certain people and see who I'm preaching to in a service. See who's getting it and who's not. A sower sowed the word. Some fell on good ground. Some fell on thorny ground. Some fell by the wayside. I'm looking for good ground. That's what I'm looking for. Now, this has been brought to my attention. And the reason that I didn't notice it as much is because I just, Kelly needs to learn how to do this in a way. But people need to tell us when something's going wrong. These kids, if we don't win this generation, we're going to feel awful stupid up in heaven when we got our cousins and our nephews and stuff. We don't have our kids. See, you can't take your gym shoes with you. Kid asked me one time, Brother Angelo, he was in the teen group. He said, you think the Lord will let me take my Jeep up there with me? No. No, he's not going to let you take your Jeep. But you can sure take your disciples, your converts. That's what you can take. And you know what? Hopefully your children. You know what? What's it going to be like to be in heaven and some of your children are not there? Or the angel takes them and drags them to the lake of fire and casts them in there. Now I'm going to talk to you about communion tonight. What it means. Why we do what we do. I'm going to get very specific. And I'm very careful with this subject because some people, they think, oh, I'm going to run away from that like Adam and Eve ran from the Lord in the garden because I'm not worthy. See, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. See, the blood of Jesus and his cross and his resurrection and his empty tomb made you worthy. For God so loved the world. He didn't just love the world for God's sake. He so loved the world that he gave. He was a giver. God is looking for givers tonight, not just takers. And he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, lower me down just a little bit, please, in the sound booth, pay attention. Lower me down. That whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God did not send his son into this world to condemn the world. So I have to be careful with that. I ask people all the time, did I sound condemning? God did not come into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And I came, Jesus said, that you might have life and have it more abundantly, because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What if some of this is true? What if any of this is true? My wife, the oldest disciple in this room that I have, she wasn't saved. I began to bring her to the church. She felt more comfortable at the back of the church, so we sat at the back of the church where she wanted. And I kept praying. And I'd pray under my bed, see the over the noble tisa cabal and I ended up in the noble cobbly over the night. One day I looked over at her, and all I could see, it looks like water. It was just, oh my God. And the Spirit was there. And he opened up the alabaster box of Millie's heart. And she was weeping. And that morning, before we left church, Millie got saved. She's been saved ever since. I've never seen her in the last 4 years, 5 years since she's been up, get so close to God that I trust her. I trust her to be standing next to me that we could pray. Millie got saved in a big way. And I began to teach her many, many things that I know. And she, many, many times, more times than that, she forgave me for things I didn't know how to love. And she taught me how to love. And she just, tell you what, she started taking care of her finances about 5-8 years ago. She just bought a brand new car. Now, we're just regular people on Social Security and paid cash for it. And you know what the thing is? Yeah, you might not want to do that, but what if it was you? What if you could learn how to do that? How teachable are you? What would you be willing to learn? Because every one of you can do that. I was so poor, Keisha. I would cry at night just for a glass of milk. If I could just have a glass of milk. My father deserted us. And we had nothing. I never saw assistance. My mother worked. She worked for Zenith TV in Chicago, Illinois. When I was 12 years old, I got a job. And I bought my mother a coat. I bought my sister Kathy a bicycle. And I bought my sister Lori a present. I learned how to be a giver. I began to see, man, this has got to come from somewhere. We had places like the Salvation Army. They would bring us warm blankets. I remember that. I remember how cold it was. I remember as a little boy going into many places and trying to wash my little hands, and they'd be so cold. But I'm going to teach you tonight for just a few moments on this subject, the subject of Holy Communion. It's not just communion. It's Holy Communion. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death. I'm going to do that right now on this subject. Blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live, that you mayest love the Lord your God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is your life and the length of your days. He's the length of your days. The Bible teaches this very clearly. Some men will die and not spend half of their days. They'll die before their time. There ain't no such thing. Well, it's just their time. No, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to teach it like I know it. I'm going to teach it like I live it. I'm claiming that 120 years or whatever I can get. I'm 71. I'll be 72 this year. And I'm doing everything I can to be an example, that thou mayest love the Lord your God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him. Cleave, cleave. That word is in the book of Genesis. Therefore shall a man leave his wife, leave his mother and father, and cleave to his wife. That means to catch by pursuit daily, be loving her, be loving her, be romancing her. For this cause shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, to be in a perpetual state of dating. We're doing that more than we've done it in a long time. And I'll tell you what, I'm pretty happy. I lived through a lot of things. Most of the things I lived through was my rebellion and my sin. I said this from this sacred desk. I did some of my best sinning after I got saved, because I got saved at 19. And sex, drugs, rock and roll, and demons weren't through with me yet. But I began to get free. God got me down and just began to pull them chains off of me one at a time. Was it easy? Hell no. Sure wasn't. Was it worth it? Hell yes. Yes. I'm going to tell you. You're looking at a fella 71 years old that's been through it. And I'm telling you, it's worth it. And you got to teach your children. I taught my children the best I knew how. I let them know, you're going to get a whipping if you don't do. And if they didn't do right in church, I said, you wait till we get home. That was the best thing. You wait till we get home. You're getting so many licks. And they'd think about that. And they'd calm down. Sometimes they'd start crying in the car when we'd get close to the house. I said, if you don't stop that, I'm going to give you one more. But a lot of times, now tell me if this isn't true, baby doll. I showed you mercy. Not all the time.
Casey got more mercy.
Casey got more mercy. Let me tell you something. Whatever I had to do with them, when I was through with them, what did I do with you? I took you shopping. They loved that. My kids, before they could talk, when they would go by a store where there was a sale, they'd go, oh. They're the shoppingest little dudes you've ever seen in your whole life. But I want to talk about Holy Communion, because if we'll get this right, see, it ain't that you're not worthy and don't take it. See, that's not enough. That's falls far short. Get worthy. That's what, and we're going to go through a few more verses, and I'm going to show you in the next few minutes what the Bible says, not what the church says, not what the denomination says, not what the church creed says, but what Jesus said, what the Bible says. Everything else can just go. I want what God says. That's what I want. That's all I want. And I hope that you're the same way. You're going to have a warrior's heart. You're going to have to forgive yourself. You're going to have to stop condemning yourself. Condemnation is use of the devil to hold you back. Did I read all of that? Okay. That thou mayest love the Lord your God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave to him, for he is thy life and your length of days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. God loves you. He wants you to have great vacations. He wants you to be able to do great things for your kids. Did you have great Christmases, yes or no? It was almost embarrassing. I said, Melly, shut the lights off for God's sake and lock the doors. We don't want anybody to see how much stuff we got. Because her parents, my parents, and us, we made sure them kids had a great Christmas, true or false, and a great vacation every year. God made sure. God made sure. I let my children know, and Kelly was preaching it Sunday morning, they could ask for anything, and I could give it to them. Yeah, you can have that. Of course you can have that. How many of them you want? That's just how I raise them. You don't like it? Tough. That's the way I raised mine. I let him know that the head of anything I can provide. And I guarantee you my heavenly Father can provide. My heavenly home is bright and fair. And I feel like traveling on. No pain nor death can enter there. And I could almost get happy. Let's go to the final place, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 32. And we're going to talk about communion tonight for the next few minutes. And it's so important. If I have to split this into two messages, I will. And I want to say, the first thing I want to say to you that's very, very important is that you realize running away and giving the old religion, oh, I'm not worthy enough. You know what? That'll send you to hell. Is it all right to tell you the truth? That'll send you straight to hell. That is the concoction of Satan. Because when you take communion, we take it every week, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. And I'm going to show you why we get on our knees and make an altar. I'm going to show you in the next few minutes. Follow me and try to get your kids, whatever you got to do to them. No, not anything, but make them think anything. Amen? We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. And this is the Apostle Paul. And he said, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." This is the last Passover that Jesus had on this earth. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Do this. See, it ain't a matter of, no, I'm not worthy enough. You get in there and do it. See, because if you learn what I teach you tonight, that's all you need. You'll learn the only thing that's stopping you, if you don't take it, is pure our rebellion. And that will not help you if you want to have a good life. How many of you, the next person you marry, you want that to be it? You don't want to have another problem. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. I'm telling you it's possible. Not only am I telling you, I've lived it. I'm living it now. I was the worst husband. Millie was the best wife. And God knew. He knew what to do. He knew that this time was coming. Me and Millie is purposed in our heart. This is going to be the most fruitful time of our life. We are here to try to bring a Holy Ghost revival here. See, just having meetings and going home, they won't get it. We need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We need something that you'll feel. Paul told me the other last Sunday night, he said, "Brother Angelo, well, can you tell them what you told me?" Right here, let me give you this here. I got a blue mic in my hand, everybody.
I walked up to Angelo and I sat beside him and I told him that I really enjoyed the service because that's the kind I grew up in. They moved when the Holy Spirit moved and they didn't stop.
Amen. And I know it's hard. Let me tell you, it's hard for me. I've seen things I cannot explain. When you see something that you can't explain, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. I can't explain why my sister Heidi's still alive today and has had 3 kids. I can't explain it, but I saw it happen. That's all I can say. All right. "After the same manner, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant, the new testament.'" That word right there, covenant, testament, it's the same Greek word. "In my blood. The surety of the promises of the new testament is the blood of Jesus Christ." They said, "What do you want to put down?" The other day I said, "Well, we're just going to pay for it. Don't worry about it. Just write it up." But the surety of the new covenant is the life of Jesus Christ. His own people hated him. Pontius Pilate didn't have the courage to stop them. He called for a vase and he washed his hands in front of the crowd and said, "I want you to know I'm not going to be held guilty of this." For his wife had told him, "Be careful what you do with that man, for I was in a vision, I had a dream. And he's a holy man. Be careful what you do, Pontius." But he didn't have the strength He came to Jesus and questioned him. He said, don't you know I have power over you? And Jesus said, you know, you don't have any power over me that my Father didn't give you. You're just here. You're just the dummy that's going to fill what's going to happen in my life. Jesus, three times in the garden, said this, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. He didn't want to die. Who would want to die like that? He had great, great understanding of what was going to happen to him. And he prayed that way three times. And every time he prayed that, he said, let that cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. You know what? There's things you want in your life, and God's waiting for you to surrender your will to him. He's waiting for that. I'm telling you the truth. Now, let's go a little further. We'll be done in just a minute. After the same manner he took this cup is the new covenant, the new testament in my blood. This do you as often, listen, as you drink it, in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you release the power. That's showing the death. You release the power of God. Now, God wants people in here to take communion tonight. Now, I had more verses, didn't I? I've got up to 32, so give me some more. Wherefore? Now, this is the part. Look at me, everybody. Look at me. Make yourself listen. This is the part I don't like to teach because it's so easy to get this wrong and make this awful, make communion an awful, wicked, judgmental thing. But that's not what it is. Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself first. Amen. Let a person examine themselves first. Let a person examine himself first. Let a person examine himself first. If you can get a hold of your life right now, you can have a powerful life. I had more drugs, sex, and rock and roll. I started when I was about your age. I started trying to commit suicide. I began to miss it. God had to reach way down for me. This do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you show my death until I come. He's releasing his power. His death is the releasing of power. It tore the veil. Dead people got up out the grave and started walking around. He changed everything. But he that eateth in unworthily matter eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the body. For this cause, now hear me, for this cause, many are weak and sickly. Everything they do doesn't work out. It's this, that, and the other. See, it's a problem. See, are you under a curse or are you under the correction of God? We're going to read just a little further. You're going to understand what I'm saying. Now, for this cause, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. If you take this like it's nothing, and like we're letting these kids, God's not pleased. God's not pleased. That come from the pastor to this pastor, the many people, they're not pleased. God's not pleased. It's up to you to make your children reverence God. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and some have died before their time. They've died before their time. Listen to me. You can die before your time, or God can add more years, and that's the truth about it. Now, are there people born real sick, like your little aunt? Yeah. Anybody that would condemn them is awful. Awful. We don't know. There's so much. Here's what Paul said. Now we see through a dark, dim, a glass dimly. We don't see everything. She was just a sweet old gal. But she had what we all have, a devil that hates our guts. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Listen to me. Give me a few more minutes of your time. For if you would judge yourself, listen to me, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. Let me tell you what God will do. Are you going to run away from God because he might want to take you to the woodshed? I wouldn't do that if I were you. I had a terrible storm come and hit my house. I thought the walls were going to fall. I was on the west side of my house at my computer. In 1 minute or 1 minute and 30 seconds, it ripped all of that sheet iron off and put it in the on the east side of my house, from the west to the east. And from that happened February 22nd, 9:30 a.m. And for the next 2 or 3 weeks, every time I walked out my door, I could see that. They said, and Brother Angel, you want us to take that out? And I said, leave it there. I wanted to get the full effect. And I looked at it. You know what it made me do? It made me examine my life a little closer. It didn't make me run away from God. And you know what I noticed? Ever since then, there's strength coming back in these old legs. Whew, glory. It won't be long and I'll be running up these steps. My God in heaven. My God can do anything. Anything. Anything, anything. My God can do anything. He'll heal the sick. He'll raise the dead. He will do just what he said. My God can do anything. But when we are judged, okay, we are judged by God. There's a judgment that comes out against his children because he loves them. And listen, so that we should not be condemned to hell, to the lake of fire at the end of all of this. If you think this is a joyride, you are wrong. This is a time to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But let a person examine themselves. Now, doesn't that make a little more sense? Why we do an altar service? We're going to do it right now. I'm going to ask you to make an altar. It's best if you'd come up here. Some people are afraid of their own shadow and won't even come up here. However you want to do it, make an altar. Examine your heart. If there's something there that shouldn't be there, you should be confessing that to the only high priest, the only wise God, and he'll help you. He'll help you. Sweetie, you want to come up here with me? Come on, sweetie. You go ahead. Yes. Yes. Yes, Father. Yes. Yes, yes. We want you, God.